Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Monday, April 8th, 2024. And our top story today, why do we still need cash? Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Dr. Robert Waples is a professor at Wake Forest University. Dr. Waples, it is so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thank you for having me on.
And look, I got to tell you, this kind of hits at the heart. We talk a lot about retirement and financial literacy, but money is at the center of everything we, as we transact business. And I guess my first question is, do we still need cash in our society, or are we now able to go digital?
I would say we still need it. The point of money, whatever form of money you have, is to make commerce more efficient, to make your transactions run more efficiently. And so I think it's good that we now have gotten to a point where we have multiple means of payment, right? Back in the old days, it was cold hard cash, and then they invented checks, right? And they had banknotes and stuff along the way. And now we've got all this electronic stuff. We've got credit cards and debit cards and Venmo and all that other. That just adds more options to people so that whatever works better for them, they can use.
Yeah, and what was interesting, and I think why we reached out to you, I guess it was a study. The U.S. spent $179 million in 2023 minting pennies and nickels. And so it always comes up when you talk about the budget, and we just went through this rigmarole in the Congress with a budget. So these types of things come up. But it always begs the question, why do we need pennies if they're costing 3 cents for the 1 cent? And why do we need even $100 bills when most people are not even carry cash?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll start with the pennies. I think we probably don't need them. And you can see the fact that people just don't use them very much, right? The problem with the penny isn't simply that it costs more money to mint a penny than the penny's worth. Even if they could make a penny out of like thin air, right? And so it costs nothing to produce it. Think about how much time it takes a person to use a penny in a transaction. And with the average wage in the United States being over $30 an hour, basically the average person in the U.S. time is worth about 1 cent for every 2 seconds. So if it's taking you 2 seconds to fish into your pocket and get your penny out, it's a loss right there. And then on top of that is the cost of minting it and lugging it around. And so what do people do with their pennies? They do like my wife does. They just put them in a jar when you get home. So I have been consciously going into that jar the last month or so. Sunday morning, I go on a walk, and it brings me by a grocery store, and I pick up a gallon of milk, and I've been just taking change out of there. And I've been feeding in it one penny at a time. And I think even when I got them sitting in my hand, taking them out and putting them in, it takes me at least a second of my time holding up. Well, it's Sunday morning, so there's not much of a line. And I do the self-serve checkout thing. If I was in a regular line with people, it'd be wasting my time and their time and the cashier's time and all that kind of stuff. So it's the waste of time that's the bigger thing on top of the cost of minting them and moving them around. And because we don't even bring them back, then the stores say, hey, we're out of pennies. And the news gets sent up to the mint and they mint more of these things up, which of course uses real resources. It's primarily zinc. And, there's environmental damages and things from that as well. So all in all, I think probably we should get rid of the penny.
And do you think that is likely? I mean, what would it take? Let me ask you this. What would it take to eliminate the penny? I mean, does it take an act of Congress? Does it take something from the Federal Reserve Bank, the Treasury? How does whomever or whoever come up with that decision and make that decision?
A lot of other similar countries have gotten rid of their penny. Canada did. A lot of the countries that use the euro have gotten rid of the cent. And the problem with the United States is if you literally read the Constitution, it says that Congress has the power to decide, what is our money. So it would take an act of Congress. Congress is so busy with all the other things they do that I don't see them acting anytime soon. There was a congressman who introduced, a bill to do it. I actually went up and visited his office. This was probably 10 years ago now. He's retired. And he got like three co-sponsors, and that was it. And it never came up for a vote. So Congress is just too busy. The Mint, I guess, could act unilaterally and just say, hey, Congress, unless you say otherwise, we're just going to stop minting these things up. And then slowly the penny could go away. But the Mint, I guess, doesn't feel like they've got the legitimacy to do that. And so I think we're just going to be stuck with pennies as inflation happens and prices go up, the penny just loses value over time.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I know your wife puts them in jars. I hate when I have any type of change doctor in my pocket. It just kind of weighs it down, and nothing can replace just being able to click and point. I mean, we all do that. I've if anyone's thinking of robbing me, I don't carry any cash on me. So, but I don't think I'm.
They could steal your cell phone.
Yeah, I mean, they could take my cell phone, but then they'd have to take my face with them in order to open it. But doctor, I mean, this is, it's fascinating how money has evolved, and how we use it has evolved.
So I think there are a range of people with a range of different attitudes toward money, and some of them use their phone or whatever exclusively. But there's plenty of people who don't, and they like having physical cash around. I've heard people even say that it doesn't even feel like you're spending when you just flash that little thing. And you're more careful spending when you're dealing with, physical pieces of paper and coins and stuff. So that might be a benefit. But again, as I said earlier, I like it. I would like it. I think most economists would like it if we have the kinds of monies that people are comfortable using, and that'll make. And so there's plenty of occasions where it's nice to have just cash around. Like you go to church and they pass the collection plate. I know you can do right ahead of time and do it all electronically and stuff. But when I see that collection plate going around at my church, I see a number of people putting cash in. You go to farmers markets. I know many of the people will have like a little device right there on their attached to their phone or something where you can swipe a card. But not everybody does. And then I was talking to a reporter a week or two ago. She's from Puerto Rico. Remember when Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico and their entire electrical system went out? And the people who had cash on hands could actually buy some things, and the other people who were stuck with electronic forms of money actually couldn't. So it's nice to have backups. It's nice to. The other thing is, cash gives you anonymity. Some people see that as a bad thing, like people who want to track what you're spending. The powers that be who want to spy on you, they'd like to know every dollar you're spending. But some people like anonymity. So it's nice to be able to pay in cash sometimes, even though I know that, a lot of illegal transactions can be done anonymously with cash as well.
Yeah, and by the way, they can be done with digitally as well. Dr. Waples, I need to take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the future of money. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 yeah. years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans.
and we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Dr. Waples, thanks so much for staying with us. Really appreciate you hanging around for segment number two this morning.
Thank you.
Well, doctor, I mean, we're all very familiar with, we're going to get into the future money in a couple of minutes, but we're all very familiar with the dollar here in the United States. But the dollar wasn't always money in the United States. We actually, before, when the colonies existed, we used tobacco. So anything can be a form of money, a medium of exchange.
Yep. There's a lot of things that have filled that role over time. And so the origins of money are, as John Maynard Keynes once famously said, lost in the mist when the ice was melting, you know, like way, way back. But we can trace physical money to at least like 700 BC in places like the Middle East and over in China. And they were using metals then, right? People had always liked metals, you know, the precious metals, because they're shiny and pretty. And they used them in their art and in their jewelry and whatever. And so they had value. And they said, well, let's just put this into a uniform form. They turned it into a little coin and they put the picture of the emperor or whoever on it. And they traded very nicely. That reduced the transactions cost. You didn't have to sit there and weigh things, whatever. You just knew exactly how much gold was in this coin. And it made it far easier to do trades. Later, they kind of figured out that you didn't actually need to have that physical stuff on hand to do the same thing. You could get a piece of paper. It said, bring this down to the bank, bring this down to headquarters, and we'll convert it into some gold. And if they had enough gold there, people would trust them. And so pieces of paper that were backed by gold, commodity-backed money, evolved. We moved away from that at the time of the Great Depression in the United States when we have the kind of money we do now. It's called fiat money. Fiat is Latin, which means let it be. Fiat lux, let there be light. So basically, if you read your dollar bill, it says, this note is legal tender for all debts in public and private, right? The government's saying, let this be money, okay? And people say, well, the government accepts it, so I'll accept it. And if they can keep it scarce enough, it'll hold its value. When they create too much of it, like they did a couple of years ago, you have inflation. So lots of things have happened, you know, have been used as money, physical commodities, pieces of paper. And now, of course, most of it is just little electronic blips in the memory of your bank's bank account and going over to your phone and all that stuff. So,
doctor, thank you for that. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. I guess before we get into the back, I tease the future money. Do you think people respect the fact that it's a medium of exchange? And, you know, do you think people take the dollar bill or the penny or the dime for granted? You know, because a lot of us. You know, I was born right before we went off the gold standard, I guess, in the 70s. But a lot of people probably now haven't lived under the gold standard. They're not aware of the history of money. Do you think people have lost their appreciation for what money really is? And would that help shape better financial literacy and just overall literacy in life?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to say money is as money does, right? And so the classic definition of money is it's something that acts as that medium of exchange, is also what we call a unit of account. When you pick up something like, you know, your phone, you think, how many chocolate bars is this worth? No, how many dollars is this worth? Because that's right. And then it's got to be a good store of value as well. So there's a lot of things that can fill that role and have filled that role. And we've lost a sense of some of those over time, but then other things are starting to pick up the slack and new kinds of money are coming along. So it's been a dynamic historical process, and I think it'll continue to evolve. I hope we keep our traditional forms because they have, you know, they're pretty useful. But as new forms come along, if people think that they're useful too, we should add them on.
Yeah, and you already hit on, you know, banknotes and credit cards and personal checks. Let's talk about something that is not fiat currency. It's actually decentralized, for lack of a better term. That's the what's better known as cryptocurrency. How does that fit in? Because, you know, there's a lot of you can't open your paper, or if you don't get a paper, you can't open your phone without seeing an article on Bitcoin, Ether, a cryptocurrency. So where does that fit in terms of replacing or extenuating our money.
Our cryptocurrencies have a long way to go before they're going to replace what we're currently using, you know, those dollar bills. Right now, I wouldn't call basically any cryptocurrency true money, because the first part of the definition of money is it is a medium of exchange. It's a widely accepted means of payment. And you go to most places, they will not accept any cryptocurrency. When's the last time you paid or saw a sign up saying that they would accept a cryptocurrency? So no. Yes, I know that in El Salvador, it's legal tender. Their president is a big fan of it. And there's a few other places that you'll see it actually being used, but it's got a long way to go. And one thing that the biggest roadblock that it's going to have is that there's already a widely accepted means of payment out there that's backed by the government, and competing with the government is very difficult. And so I don't see it making a lot of progress in being true money, yet it is an asset. And if you look up the market value of the various cryptocurrencies, you know, billions and billions of dollars, and a lot of them still going up. And so where did they get that value from? Like, where's the demand? I know where the demand for the currency is, because I'm going to pay somebody with it and they accept it. Okay, where's the demand for this? It's a little cryptic, you know, it is cryptocurrency. So
pun,
it's a little
pun intended. Pun intended.
They say that probably there's a lot of transactions that are going on out there on the dark web, right? For things that are illegal or whatever. And I think that's where the primary early source of its value came from, that I could do things without anybody watching. I could do illegal things with it. And once it got value because of that, then people were like, well, it has value and it's scarce. And I don't know, I'll take a chance. I'll invest in it. And other people said, well, so will I. It's going up, so let's hang on. And then some of them have continued to go up. I don't know. They don't really have any pure value to them. Neither does the dollar bill, except that it says it's legal tender for all debts, public and private, and the government will accept it for your payment of taxes. And these other things, it's a little squisher. So I could see the whole bubble going poof at some point.
Yeah, I have to be honest. It reminds me, I don't know if you remember the Thai Beanie Babies or the Cabbage Patch Kids, that people said that those were going to be collectibles. A little bit different, but still creating a market.
Interesting analogy.
Yeah, Will it go the way of cabbage? I don't know. But certainly people assign value to it. I think there's a lot. You know, and based on what you're saying, it sounds like there's a long ways to go. Dr. Waples, we're going to have to leave it there. Great to talk to you. Thanks for the lesson on money. And now I'm actually going to go to the ATM and get some out because it's good to carry it. Good to see you. Thanks so much for joining us. And we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest, something you think we should talk to, then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news and lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more in all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content, then visit our website. Hey, we're back again tomorrow for another edition of BRN AM. We'll have a very special guest and, of course, another important topic. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.